The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Ever wonder why God's taking so long to bring healing? Next on Life Today with Beth Moore.
And she said she had asked God to deliver her of that stronghold over and over and over and over. And even to ask him, why? This is not your will for me to be thinking like this. You surely will for me to be free of this. Why won't you deliver me?
Join us as we spend Wednesdays in the Word. Next.
Special day with Beth again.
Well, Beth is teaching on claiming Naaman, interesting little title. And Naaman was a leper, and he experienced a marvelous healing. By the way, lots of leprosy, you know, different types of leprosy that are illnesses in our spirit and in our lives that are not necessarily physical diseases, but other needs, and we need a healing. And Beth's going to point out a lot of people don't like God's way of doing it. Doing what he says. You've got to imagine how humiliated Naaman had to be to go, you know, dip his leper's body in a dirty river. Seems so silly. But you know, when God leads us to do something, it's not silly. It's wisdom. And when we trust him, it's amazing the results. Well, let's listen to Beth Moore. Here's Beth. Welcome her.
I want to tell you a little story that I think will bless you. I will remember it the rest of my life if I have presence of mind. And I will always, I loved her anyway, but I will love her in a particular way forever for the story I'm about to tell you. We were all together, a group of us, speaking and serving at a conference. She was mostly attending it just to get away and get a little bit of refreshment in her soul. She served some, but was mostly there to just take it in. We were in the other side of the world in Greece together on a wonderful team, had the biggest blast together. But while we were there, we did a little bit of touring. There were just some really cool things that we wanted to see. And we had several different tour guides, but one was just enamored with her. It was a single man, not as young as her, but I don't know how many of you have seen Carrie, because you would be able to understand why one might be enamored by her. I mean, I'm an older woman, and I just kind of want to stare at her face like, how do you do your blush like that? I mean, it's just like, she just is stunning. And listen, I have so much respect for her hair, because girlfriend can wear some big hair. I just love it. I just have to stare into it. It is a beautiful, beautiful sight for somebody like me. So I'm just crazy about her, absolutely crazy about her, young woman. And so this guy, and one reason he's enamored, now he is from Greece. He is a Greek. But he has seen her. It comes out very, very, very soon, because he's just starstruck. He's just saying to her, YouTube. I mean, it's just like, he's seen her on YouTube. And so, you know, he speaks good English, but a very, very thick accent. So it was a hilarious dynamic, because we spent, you know, all of this time together. And to some of us older women, it was a little humorous, because he was struck. And so it was so wonderful. I love awkward. You'll never meet anybody that loves awkward more than me. I just love awkward, and it was beautifully awkward. And so we'd been together, we'd been doing this touring, and we went to a restaurant. He says to her, Miss Carrie, may I ask you a question? Well, listen, I didn't know if it was gonna be, will you marry me? I mean, I don't know what all the cultural things are here. And so I thought, oh, perfect, perfect, please, please let it be. Well, she's just got this really innocent way about her. And she kind of just lifted up her eyes like, she goes, okay. Because it was just like, what? And he said, would you sing us Revelation song? And, well, every one of us girls, I mean, reached into our purse. It was like we all, it was like it was all on cue. We went for our phones immediately because this was about to be hilarious. Because she was about to get up in a public restaurant and she was about to sing, and we knew it was going to be so funny to watch what was going to happen in that restaurant, only it wasn't funny. I'll never forget it. She pushed back that chair. I can still hear it pushing back in my mind. Young woman stood up, lifted her little chin up, put her shoulders back, a cappella, takes a deep breath, and begins to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy," I got chill bumps all over. "Holy, holy is He." We all set our phones down. It was just like, I mean, there was a clunk of phones. We were all positioned and ready. Not one of us got a single picture of what may have been one of the finest moments we'd had in ministry in a long time, when she's up on her feet singing Revelation song in a restaurant in Greece. And I mean singing it out. And the Spirit of God falls on us. I mean, falls on us. We bawl like babies. I mean, babies. We're beside ourselves. All of us are snorting. And then, I mean, she gets, sings it to the end, sits down, pulls her chair back in, and we are just dead silent. You never know when a sacred moment's going to come. You never know how your healing's going to happen. And if you go on with your prejudices, you're going to miss it. My assistant back at work in Houston said something to me that I thought was so intriguing and kind of the other side of the whole thing. She said, "You know, the thing about me is I always expect God's way to be the hard way." And so we talked about one reason that we miss our healing is because sometimes it just seems too ridiculous. Sometimes it seems like just too hard or too humbling. With her, isn't it interesting that we would think God will only be hard on me? It will always be hard. Whatever it's going to take, it's always going to be the hard way. God only does something the way that nearly kills you. I'm not saying some things don't nearly kill us, but if some things nearly kill us, they kill the old us and not the new us. He's after bringing her and him very much to life, very much to the forefront, very much into thriving and bringing abundance of the Spirit into the body of Christ. I thought that was so interesting, that when it takes humility for us to receive a work of wholeness and healing and cleansing in our lives. Think about that for a moment. I love to talk some scriptures that I'm working on over with my staff. And I brought this to them in a devotional so that we could all discuss it. And I loved hearing their feedback. Because one of the young women that works for me at Living Proof, about your age, she said something very interesting and gave me permission to share it. She said she had struggled with a stronghold for a number of years. It was an internal stronghold. It was within her own private life. She had had great discipline over the way she lived out her life. It was very much behind the scenes, internal with her. But as far as outside, she did not have the background like I have, where I just made a fool of myself. She really kept it together, but in her own heart, in her own mind, and in some personal struggles, she had a stronghold and it had gone on and on. And she said she had asked God to deliver her of that stronghold over and over and over and over, and even to ask him, "Why? This is not your will for me to be thinking like this. This, you surely will for me to be free of this. Why won't you deliver me?" And she said, "Beth, I said it every conceivable way. I looked for every formula in the Word of God. I brought him every scripture I could bring him. What is my holdup?" And he told her, not out loud, but you know when you know in prayer that God is speaking to you? He brought someone to her mind, and he instructed her in the Spirit, so not with words, but instructing her in her spirit. She said she knew. He said, go and tell it to, and he told her the woman in her heart she was to go to. Well, see, the thing she most did not want to do was tell anyone, because she was going to be embarrassed. And she knew that this person thought a lot of her. And that the moment that she did, now she was going to come down in that woman's eyes. And she just, it was too humbling. Now, again, don't take this like this is your rule. Now I've got to go tell her. I'm going to have to go stand up in front of my church. Don't do it. Don't do it. But there is an element in the book of James that sometimes that just to confess our sins to one another in a safe, discreet place and go, this is what I'm dealing with, that so often it can be wrapped up in our process of healing. Does anyone know you're struggling? Someone trustworthy. They could pray for you and give you some good, sound, godly counsel and hold you accountable. Who would that be? Well, she did go to, or she said at first she didn't. She thought, well, I'm just hard on myself and I've made that up. Only it just kept happening and happening and happening. She'd see her and just go, oh, here she is again. Oh, you know, run into the restroom, get out of the corridor where you don't have to run into her. She'd see her over and over again. Finally, she said, I've just got to talk to you. Well, you know, any of you older women know exactly what happened because you never love them more. And I know that you guys would feel the same way if a young man came to you. I mean, it's just like they're coming to you with such sincerity and trusting you. And you know that you've lived long enough to have been through so much trash. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, she was discreet. And she began to speak a word over her. Do you know that that woman began to heal? That was the very process by which God began to set her free from this vice grip that was on her brain. I wonder if anybody can step into that with me. Another, not only because it's so ridiculous or it's too hard or it's too humbling, but sometimes it's just inconvenient. Inconvenient. A case in point, there's a lot of alcoholism in my extended family. A lot. It's just, I've said so many times, if I could really tell you my story, you need to trust me when I say to you, there's a reason why we've been so messed up. But I just, you know, there's some things you keep to yourself. But I'm just going to tell you that we are addicts. And it has happened in all manner of different way with different ones, but a very big part of it has been alcohol addiction and alcohol abuse. And so I've known in my heart, especially through certain seasons of life, that it would even be helpful to some of my loved ones if I would go to Al-Anon. I knew it. I'm not saying it would be the answer to everything. I just knew it would bring some healing. But you know what? I never did do it. Why? Because I didn't know if I could have the Al-Anon part of that, you know, that Anon. I just thought, I don't know if I can go in and just be anonymous in a situation where I'm going to, like, tell on my family here. Tell on myself. Inconvenient. And so we put it off and we don't do it. Because I want to heal, but I don't want to heal like that. Something else, and I love this part of it. Sometimes it's not just that it's ridiculous, humbling, hard, inconvenient. It's that it requires too much repetition. Now, I'm wanting somebody to get a word here. Somebody needs to get a word here. Because I want you to notice what he tells him to do. You are to go to the Jordan waters in verse 10. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. 7 times. What is up with the 7? I mean, don't you know he's just going like, okay. Think, because we just want to go 7 times. We think about them, the Israelites walking around the walls of Jericho 7 times, and we think, yeah, 7, no, do it in your mind. So dude is going to go to the waters. He's commander of the army of Syria, only answers to the king. His face is lifted up before the king. He's going to go get in those Jordan waters. He's going to dip himself all the way under. He's going to get out. People watching, he's got all his chariots, all his horses, all his clothing. All his shekels. He's going to go in and he's going to come out 7 stinking times. It's like, that is too much. I'll go in once and I will come out and that's going to be it. I might go in 3 times, but by 4, I'm going to feel pretty stupid and I'm not doing it. This is not the way I'm going to heal. Is anybody, anybody in this with me? See, I'm gonna tell you why this means so much to me. Because my huge deliverance came with scripture memory. When I tell you it was what God used to set my mind free, there is nothing that is ever compared with it. And I don't mean a little bit of scripture. I mean getting in there and taking a chunk and saying it over and over. But here's the thing that people want to say. Well, it's too much repetition, because you cannot memorize scripture, girlfriend or guy friend, if you're not going to say it over and over. But we're not going to do it because who's going to do that? Not doing it. Not dipping in that water 7 times. How long would it take me? I mean, if I'm going to get, there's 30 words in that passage. Do you know how many times I'd have to say it to memorize it? And so we don't do it. Why? Too much repetition. Need to go to some counseling. And we want them like the first time. We want to be done. We want to walk out of there and like we're healed. I mean, we know God can do it, and we mean for Him to. And I'm not going to go to counseling for 12 weeks once a week. I'm going to go once. I'm going to go 3 times. I'm not going all those times. Why? Because I will not do the repetition that it would take for me to be well. Anybody? I'm just going to sit here and wait. Anybody? Would it take some repetition? Do it the first time, second time. Third time. I ain't doing it 7 times. Okay? Don't. And stay broken. Stay in the vice grip. And guard your heart from God. We end up missing our healing because we don't like our medicine. Anybody? Missing our healing because we don't like our medicine.
Ooh, and it is like a vice grip. You know, if you've heard my testimony years ago when I talked about, I feel like the enemy had a grip on me that was like a claw in my brain. It had a hold on me, but maybe I was holding on to something that I needed to release so that that grip could be broken. Father, I pray for every person who heard what you're saying, not just what Beth said, or what you're saying to them. And God, I pray they'll be set free, be healed of whatever it is that ails them or hurts them or holds them. In Jesus' name I pray. You know the telephone number there on the screen is always there as a prayer line for you to call and say, I want help. If you watch Life Today on a regular basis, we always offer help to you. Caring person ready to pray with you right now. More than happy to do it any time of day or night. We also joyfully, and thank God, Betty, our viewers find joy in the fact that we do it and they're a part of it. We joyfully ask you to become an answer to someone's prayer, to meet a need. Our oldest grandson, Luke, just went to Africa. And listen to him and see if you wouldn't like to help feed precious little children before they get to the place that Luke is sitting. Watch closely. Watch prayerfully.
Well, the thing about these clinics are the parents have gotten to the point where this is their only option to bring their kids. You know, when we visit the villages and stuff like that, we are getting there most of the time prior to, you know, a disease occurring to one of the children in the village, but this is where they have to come, you know, if they don't have the proper food supply. And outside this room, it's just lined up with moms trying to find help for their kids. And I mean, we're here with little Felicia, and you know, that's what her father was just saying, was that their crops because of the drought, you know, here in Angola. He can't provide any food for the kids. And Felicia is, you know, malnourished and not getting the proper food supply. And it's not like it's a disease or anything. It's just she doesn't have food, you know. I mean, as a father at some point, and thinking, you know, how would I respond if my child was to ever look like this or have, you know, a problem like this? And so, I mean, words can't express the sadness in my heart to look at her arms and think, you know, that's just because she doesn't have, you know, food and water. You know, I grew up watching, you know, my grandparents come over here. Since from a young age, I've always wanted to be able to do this, to be able to come over here and do anything I could to be an influence to, you know, bring life to people that can't help themselves. And we want to be able to give them the life they deserve. But we, you know, we need help.
You know, we had lunch with Luke earlier today. And Luke, we love you, son. From the time he was a little boy, he's 4 years old, walked in on me when I was making an audio tape, and he just interrupted and started talking about the little children. And he said, we're gonna feed them. I said, oh, are we? Yeah, because if we don't, they would die. And I said, well, how are we gonna feed them, Luke? And he said, with money. We're going to give money. I said, well, where are we going to get it? He said, we're going to give it. And thank God, what Luke was talking about, our viewers have done it. And you've saved the little children like Luke was talking about that were there in that hospital. And Betty, you have prayed for so long that when you and I saw the long lines and we saw the people coming because they heard there was food and sometimes they pressed in and there would be more coming, little children and their families bringing them, than we had food for because we didn't know that many would show up. And then you began to pray, God, let the lines to feed them be longer than the lines that need to be fed. And that's been the prayer you've been an answer to, and it's something God put in your heart. Seeing Luke there really touches me, Betty, to know that he's caught the vision of helping people, which is what our viewers do.
It's a great joy to see one of our grandchildren over there reaching out and caring about those that are needy. And Luke has a big heart for those that are in need. And they are very needy, as you could plainly see. We need to take time to search our own hearts and say, God, what can I do in that situation? How can I help? We can all help. And I hope you will join with us. It doesn't take very much to feed these precious children and give them an opportunity to grow up, because without our help, many of them will not live very, very long. And as you can see, some of them may not make it as it is. So please join with us and let's make the difference. Do what Luke, in his heart, I know, requests. Reach out and touch the lives of these precious children.
And I'm confident that you will. We will save those children before they get to that malnutrition clinic, which is the one few people get to, and it's the last hope. We want to reach them out in the areas where they are hungry, where the drought is prevailing. We found another 100,000 that have really been hit hard in Angola because of the drought. And some of the missionary leadership and some of our leadership here said, why don't we pray that we can get the money to take care of them? Could you possibly give $1,000 to help us feed 100 children? Remember, for $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. And that's the nutritional soup mix that they need. We're giving away these beautiful little ceramic bowls. These are beautiful, the little spoons with them. You inspired the heat-resistant bowls that we give to the children. A blessing in every bowl. Mission feeding, that's what it is. And we want to just say thank you. I'm sending the book I wrote, A Dad's Blessing. And Randy, our son, wrote Rise Above, how God's Spirit and His truth will lift us up, enabling us to soar higher, rise higher, and further and faster than you ever imagined. He's an incredibly gifted teacher writer. We want to say thank you for helping these children. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. Take your bank card, go get it. Go to the phone, use that card like a check, make the largest gift you can. If there's any way you can help us care for 10 children with a $100 gift or 100 with a $1,000 gift, do it. Would you do that, please? We come to you twice a year asking you to help with this. Please do it. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, make the gift God put on your heart. We've got gifts to bless you because you are blessing others with the love that God put in your heart for them. Thank you so much for doing it.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for our feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you this inspirational two-book gift set. A Dad's Blessing by James Robison is packed with valuable fatherly wisdom and insight for dads of all ages. Rise Above by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison, will show you how to soar far above the circumstances of life and go higher in your walk with God. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you'll receive our Blessing Bowls, a great way to teach your family about giving and a daily reminder of God's provision for hungry and hurting children. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I'm anxious to send you a Dad's Blessing. Recently I just thumbed through all of it. They're very short stories, actual occurrences with our children. I never had a dad, a father in my life. I know what that's like. And I know what it's like to be a father and then to watch our children, our son, as a father. A Dad's Blessing. And then our son, James Randall Robison, wrote Rise Above. He is a tremendous writer. You're going to love these books, I promise you. They'll be a blessing to you and someone you love. And you'll be a blessing to someone by saving their lives, by giving them a meal, by giving them a future. Thank you for doing it. Thanks for watching Life Today, and thanks for sharing life.
Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.